Demetrius, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me back?
I put on the right button. How exciting is that?
That's always...
Yes, because if I'm diving through 9 different faders here to get you, it's not great radio.
Yes.
Well, you dialed up a nice day here for us today, boy.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
We're looking at high temperatures in the low 40s this afternoon, mostly sunny skies. You know, later tonight we'll get some flurries come our way, maybe even a snow shower, but nothing really heavy, nothing really serious or significant at all. 38 on Tuesday. Wednesday, we do cool down, but you know, kind of like a normal January number, which, let's face it, is going to be cool as heck to us.
Yeah,
28
right.
degrees, the high temperature there.
I've always wondered that, because, you know, like 35 degrees in October feels like, oh my goodness, but when you've endured it for so long, there's got to be some science behind what your body kind of gets used to, right?
Right. I've read that if it's below a 5 degree difference, humans really don't feel it.
Okay.
So 80 to 85, 90 to 95, you know, people, you know, generally don't feel it. After that, we start to feel it. But we do obviously get used to certain temperatures where, you know, like now, I mean, a typical day with a high of in the upper 20s is going to feel pretty cold to us right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's shift gears. I got to talk about this Australian wildfire situation, obviously historic in nature. Is it just the heat that's causing the combination of heat, winds, and just the normal fires that pop up every year? Well, I mean, what is going on there?
Well, it's a little mixture of everything. It's a couple things working in tandem to just create just a horrific set of events for Australians. And climate change is part of it. Last year was the warmest year on record for Australia. How about this? The continent. 3 degrees warmer than normal. Now,
In 1 year?
In 1 year. That last year. Now, 3 degrees warmer than normal in your house. Okay, but when you're talking about an entire continent, they got their warmest temperature ever, all time. So the climate change part of it kind of set, just kind of put them in a real bad position where there was just a lot of dry, hot area, land, forests, and all that stuff. Just everything ready to kind of explode. They typically get thunderstorms there, and this is their monsoon season until March, so it's not going to be over for them, at least the typical like kind of heightened period where they see thunderstorms until March. But, you know, about 5% of their thunderstorms are, 5 to 10% are severe. So you're talking about an area that already is used to seeing powerful storms this time of the year, and they're coming off the hottest year on record.
Yeah, and when you talk about heat, boy, what a hundred, and when you put it into Fahrenheit, because I've been reading so many of the Celsius readings.
Yeah.
Of course, and you know that's you know, it can never make too much sense of that. But when you're talking about 115, 120 degrees in some spots.
Yeah, I think 121. I think was their highest temperature they ever recorded. Yeah, I mean, come on. There's nothing. There's nothing we can do as humans to kind of make that area safe. I mean, we can keep you cool, but we can't do anything about the roads and all the trees and the ground that's just going to be drying out so quickly that it's astonishing.
So what I wanted to ask you about, I've seen a couple headlines about this, and people that don't study, aren't meteorologists, sometimes writing the headlines can be a dangerous affair or tweeting about it. But I'm seeing the severe, they're saying out of this is the Bureau of Meteorology from Victoria. Mm-hmm. Fire-initiated thunderstorms driving erratic, gusty conditions, damaging locally destructive winds at risk. How does that happen? How does fire create and change the weather patterns?
Well, first off, you need a big, powerful, strong, and hot fire. And you know what? This happens a lot on other planets, not so much on our planet. So what it creates, when it's so hot, you know, of course, the warm air is less dense, so it rises, right? It's going to take a bunch of stuff with it. It's going to take, you know, the heat from the fire. It's also going to take some particulate matter, a lot of ash and dust and things like that that are quite frankly extremely hot, right? So they're going to push up into the atmosphere. You know, some of these fires have pushed particulate matter and heat 10 miles above the surface of the Earth.
Wow.
So with that happening, you're basically creating a thunderstorm, or that's how it happens. You're displacing all that air. Then you know, it has to go somewhere, right? After it cools down, it's going to start coming down. That powerful updraft is what's going to create that downdraft. And it creates what's called a pyrocumulonimbus cloud.
That doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound good at all. Hey, we already don't like cumulonimbus clouds, right?
I know the second half. That doesn't sound good. Yeah. I know what pyro means.
Yes.
No bueno.
You could tell that they just ran out of, they just said, all right, let's just call it a fire thunderstorm, right?
That's right. But let's make it sound scientific.
Yes. Pyro cumulonimbus clouds. You know, it happens time to time across the world, but it's happening, you know, obviously there. Those fires, I think it's 12 million acres or something
that
it's up to. They're creating their own thunderstorms, and of course, with more thunder and lightning, you have the potential for more fire.
Oh boy, that's incredible. And it doesn't show any signs of stopping, really.
No, well, like I said, their monsoon season goes on till March. So, you know, that's like the heightened period for their thunderstorms. So, you know, if I were a meteorologist there, I'd say, all right, first we got to get through this monsoon season. But as far as weather-wise, you know, there's no big relief coming there.
Yeah, and I know you got to get going, but not only immediately no relief, but boy, what do you do moving forward as you start to shape policy and where people live and what this happens? Now that we're seeing actual tangible results of climate change happening before our very eyes, I mean, we've been seeing it for years, but in this drastic measure, and where do you go from here?
Well, you know what? As someone who, you know, I did my best to make sure this climate change, you know, the whole hoax thing is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to get political.
No,
it shouldn't be a political issue.
It should
be a joke. The whole hoax thing is a joke. And anyone who argues with climate change just doesn't like thermometers, right? I mean, if you sit a thermometer in the same place for 50 years and all of a sudden it's saying it's warmer, if you got an issue with that, then you should argue with the thermometer, not whatever scientists are out there. I think it's, unfortunately, there has to be widespread policy changes. I have no idea what it would be, but unfortunately it's going to be things like this that are probably going to make us make those tough decisions later. Hopefully they make us make those tough decisions, because you can call this an anomaly, but if it happens again in 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, you know, we keep seeing these 100-year floods. This is just, you know, this is the worst ever, I believe.
Right.
Eventually, I think the Earth is going to force us to change our minds and take those folks who really want to argue with thermometers and say, go sit down and
do what you want with it.
Yeah, do what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Fight with the thermometer.
Yeah, exactly. Demetrius, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Demetrius Ivory from WGN Channel 9.